the class. Amen. Everyone else, please turn to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, we're going to read verses 4 through 6. And we are in the series. This is the 9:15 service. And in the 9:15 service, we're doing a series about marriage and about fighting for your marriage. And so that's why the name of the series is Why Every Marriage Must Learn to Fight. And that's what we've been teaching and preaching on. 9:15, we go over some, we go over the Bible, obviously, but some characters of the Bible that we can relate to and the struggles they went through and how they were able to overcome it. Today, we're going to actually be preaching and teaching about the couple Abraham and Sarah. So if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's try that again. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, there you go. Amen. Genesis chapter 16. Verse 4 through 6. Now, you might say, Pastor, I'm not married. Well, guess what? These are lessons for marriage, whether yeah. you're married or not. Yeah. Amen? At least you know what it should look like and what it should not look like. Amen? And maybe you might not be married, but one day, hopefully, you will be. Maybe you might not be married and it's not in your destiny to be married. Maybe you can help someone. Amen? But these are lessons of marriage. I want you to understand that fighting is a signal for us to get closer to one another as married couples, we should care for each other. The title of this message here is Fight to Stay Connected. Fight to Stay Connected. This is why we must learn how to fight in marriage. We must fight to stay connected. When we repeatedly fight in marriage, sometimes what we don't realize, it often reveals what we neglect, and those are emotional needs. Sometimes, husbands, we neglect the emotional need of our wives. Wives, sometimes we neglect, or you neglect, the emotional needs of your husband. I want you to understand that when couples argue, again, it's not about the towel being on the floor, okay? It's not about leaving the light switch on or off, or the lid up and down, or the toilet paper, whatever. It's not about these issues that we fight about, money, or schedules, or parenting, or just chores, or household responsibilities. It's bigger than that. It's really that's the problem. That's just the surface. What I want us to understand is that it's really about connection. We're fighting to get closer. It's an opportunity to show that we care. It's because someone feels unnoticed. Someone feels neglected. Someone feels unseen, unheard. When it comes down to it, understand that you and I need to figure this out. When we're fighting, again, it's not about the surface issue. It's about how our spouse feels, whether they feel valued or not. It comes down to understanding this. Abraham and Sarah's conflict here over Hagar. How many of you know that? Hagar and Ishmael story? This shows exactly what I'm talking about. Let's go to Genesis chapter 16, verse 4. The Bible says, "And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her what?" Now, this is talking about Sarah and Hagar, right? Now, there's conflict between Hagar and Sarah. Why? Because Hagar what? Conceived. Why? Because Hagar was pregnant with whose child? Abraham. Understand? I don't know how many of you ladies would be okay with this, but in that culture, that was a common thing. I'm not saying it was right. It's just like in our culture, it's common for people to legalize marijuana and liquor. Doesn't mean it's right. Amen, yeah. Pastor. We're going to preach, huh? Here's the thing. It was common in their culture. Now, wives, I don't know how many of you would say, yeah, my husband can have a mistress. Amen. But I will tell you this. It's going to create conflict. Think about it. How many of you marriages, you don't have to raise your hand, it's a rhetorical question. Amen. I'm not trying to do marriage counseling. But how many of us can say, you know what? We have conflict already in our marriage. Amen. We have conflict already in our marriage. And guess what? That's without a mistress.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Oh, thank you. Amen. Great man there. Amen. Let's continue. Let's get into the Word of God. Amen. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Then said Sarai unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Basically, plain and simple, this mistress, Hagar, which, by the way, it was Sarah's advice, suggestion, amen?
That's right.
Okay, calm down.
Sound doctrine.
Doesn't mean it was right, and doesn't mean it was right. But what I want us to understand is that Hagar now felt elevated. Hagar, that was not her position to be the lady of the house.
Amen.
That was her maid. There's a place, right? Yet, Hagar, because she had conceived, I want you to think about this, take it step by step. We have to read the Bible and make it real. Because she had conceived, the maid now felt elevated above Sarai, and now guess who was despised in her eyes? The lady of the house. The mistress thought, hey, my position here and my value here is worth more than this woman here, his wife, because she can't conceive.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it was right. See, you have to understand, marriage is an institution that was ordained by God. Doesn't matter what mess we make as men and women, you have to understand what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. Plain and simple. You say, Pastor, it's not that easy, it's complicated. No, we complicate it. It is that easy.
Right.
Simple.
Come on. Stop.
It's simple. We complicate it. Look what it says. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. I believe if you go to the next slide, brother, it should have the verses. Okay, continue. But Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Who's telling her this?
Abraham.
Her husband. Abraham. The man of the house, right? He's saying, no. You're still the lady of the house. Okay? He's saying, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it what?
Pleases
thee. Do whatever you want. You want to fire her? Go ahead. Well, it's not saying that, but, you know, just. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her what? From her face. Continue. Oh, no. Yes, that's right. Okay. Here's the first point I want to share with us this morning. We need to recognize, when we're married to our spouse, the cry for closeness. Sarai's problem was not the fact that she wanted Hagar and her husband to sleep together. That was not the problem. Amen? The problem was Sarah didn't feel worthy, didn't feel valued, because the fact of the matter is that angels of God had promised or had mentioned that she was going to conceive. They tried this. She's older in age, something that I believe, again, I don't know, I'm not a lady, but I believe every lady feels to have that desire to have a child. I could be wrong. But Sarai didn't have that opportunity. And instead of Abraham intentionally focusing and caring and coming close to Sarai, to her affliction, getting to know what was the problem, he just went along with the what? With the plan. Amen. Instead of actually working through that and trying to see her pain, her suffering, and her struggle, he just said, well, it's your idea. Okay, let's go for it. That's not part of God's plan. Amen. That's what a godly man should say. Amen. I want you to understand Sarah's heart is hurting. She feels insecure. She feels displaced. She feels emotionally neglected. And her frustration, you have to understand, is manifested in Abraham's lack of emotional engagement. What do you mean, Pastor? There's a gap in their marriage. Closeness is not there anymore. She doesn't feel like he cares about her. He just went along with what they agreed. Please understand that the argument isn't really about Hagar here. It's not. It's just that Sarai right now doesn't feel connected to her husband, doesn't feel loved to her husband, doesn't feel loved by her husband, doesn't feel valued by her husband. And here's the overall truth. Fights are often a signal that closeness has been neglected. When you and I fight, it's not just a power struggle. We saw that with Adam and Eve, right? We saw that with Adam and Eve, the first couple that we talked about in this series. Adam and Eve, there was a power struggle, right? But sometimes the fight is about the distance and the gap. You ever notice men sometimes? I'm not sure, you know, if everybody's this way, but sometimes the wife's like, hey, I don't feel loved. Mm-hmm. Or I don't feel like we talk. After you just got off the phone, praise the Lord, an hour conversation with your wife, okay? We take it at face value and look at it as, we just talked for an hour. Look, I have proof.
Amen.
That's not the point.
It's not the same
thing. That's not the point. And you say, Pastor, but I don't get it. It's okay. We're not supposed to get it. I'm learning. Amen? We're not supposed to get it. But we're supposed to figure out why. We're supposed to figure out why is there a conflict. I'm going to tell you why. There's a gap. And whatever it is that's causing that gap, that's the problem. Our job is to understand, you know what? It's not about a power struggle right now. It's actually about a distance. Maybe the spouse feels emotionally detached. That's what we need to fix. Maybe the reason why they say, we never talk, even though when we do, it's because they probably don't feel like you're listening. Or they feel like you're ignoring them. Or they don't feel seen or heard. Are you following me? You have to understand here with Sarah, husbands and wives, we need to intentionally listen to each other. Intentionally, we need to care for each other. Intentionally, we need to respond to each other. It's just not something that we can go through the motions when it comes to relationship. It's not just a, hey, babe, how are you doing? Oh, good. And then go on about your business and get on the phone. Be there. Present. Oh, no, that takes work. Yeah. It's just like it takes work being a dad and a mom. It takes work.
Yeah.
It takes work. I have to be there. I have to actually listen. How was your day in school? Oh, la, 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 la. And what we normally do, we're like, okay, I've heard this before. Blah, 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 blah. That's all I heard. No, we need to actually listen. Amen?
Amen.
Any relationships that way. Any relationship. And what Sarah here is fighting for is to be heard. She's crying to her husband and saying, look, this mistress here doesn't like me. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sometimes when we neglect each other, couples, listen carefully. Abraham and Sarah here, again, had a fight that changed the course of their family. Who did they bring into their family? Another what? Another what? Another woman, but that woman had a
child.
Yeah, that's what they brought into it. Who cares about the woman? No offense. It's not about us. It's about the children. That's where we're getting confused. They brought another child. Was the blessing on Hagar, yes or no? No. What was the blessing on?
Abraham.
Isaac. But guess who else got blessed? Ishmael. The blessing was on Abraham's what? Seed. I know y'all don't like it. Okay, I get it. But it has nothing to do with the adults. This is bigger than us. And we live a life neglecting the blessings that God has given us. And we wonder why our marriages are the way they are, why our families are the way they are, because we neglect this truth. We're neglecting and creating a distance in our families and in our marriages that we pass on as a legacy to our children. Think about what I'm telling you. We're living a life that's creating a pattern that's going to set our legacy, and what you and I leave behind is exactly what they see. I don't care. My dad doesn't care. I don't care. My mom doesn't care. I don't care. My dad speaks this way, I'll speak this way. My mom speaks this way, I'll speak this way. Amen. And then, here's the problem, parents. We don't recognize the cry for closeness when young people come to you and say, they're just there. They just want to talk. And what do we want to do as parents? We want to go to sleep. We don't have time for that. We're too busy. Is that similar to your marriage? I don't know. I don't have to be bad. Okay, I just reached God's word to understand that simple thing. Pastor, why is it that we struggle with it? Because Genesis 16:4, I want you to see that Sarah is trying to cry for closeness, but Abraham didn't recognize that. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Yes, Sarai gave Hagar over to Abraham, her maidservant, yes. So, here's the thing. When Hagar had this child, she felt displaced. Her place in the home was no longer the lady of the house. She felt displaced. Sarai felt despised. Let me ask you something. If there is a woman in your home, not your wife, but has your child, how is your wife going to feel? Dude, that's just crazy, but how is your wife going to feel?
I don't want to find out.
I don't want to find out. Praise the Lord, wise man on Joe. But how would your wife feel? Emotionally threatened? Somebody else is taking? We don't even have to use this illustration. How about someone who has unlimited access to you that's not your wife? How would your wife feel?
Oh, well. She's kind of gotten enough to answer that question.
Think about that. I made that mistake. As a pastor, I try to make myself fully accessible to people. But I made that mistake in the beginning of the years of our church where that door was open to anybody and everybody. I'm not saying it's closed now, but I'm saying you have to make an appointment. You have to ask permission now. Because I learned along the way that some people don't care about your marriage. Some people don't care about your families. I realized that some people don't care if they destroy your family. And some people are so selfish, all they want is to use you.
Yep.
So guess what we have to do now? Even as a pastor now, we make appointments. No one's going to have the same unlimited access to me as my wife or my children. But pastor, that's your mom. We can make an appointment. Oh, y'all don't like that. But I got scripture. Leave and cleave. Leave and cleave. I understand that. Why? I don't want my wife to feel emotionally threatened by someone else. Amen? By my friends that I grew up, that I knew before I knew her. My family? Whose blood? Nobody. See, you have to understand and we have to recognize that the cry for closeness is real. And this is what we're fighting for, to stay connected, my friends. This is what you and I have to understand. We can't just give people unfettered access to our lives. We can't. It's not that you're mean. It's not that you're cruel. It's not that you're evil. It's you're setting boundaries to have healthy relationships. Jesus did it. Why can't you? He had disciples, but he chose how many out of those disciples? 12. I'm pretty sure people's feelings got hurt. Oh, you know what? didn't say you're not good enough to follow me. He just said, Peter, you know, so on. You guys not only my disciples, but you're my apostles. Come on. Out of all the disciples, he chose 12. I'm pretty sure someone got offended. Oh, by the way, out of those 12, he only chose the inner group, 3. To go with him a little further. And then when it was time, guess what he did? He set healthy boundaries and he said, you 3, stay here. I'm going to go and talk to my wife, my father. Why do we feel like we have to walk on eggshells? Because, listen to me, my friends, we feel that way because we put more importance to other people, and that's going to create a gap in our marriages. Instead of listening to the cry of closeness to our spouse or to those that God has given us in our lives, I want you to see that Abraham's lack of intervention, lack of care, allowed distance to grow in their marriage. He allowed Hagar to come between him and his wife. Yeah. Hey, can I tell you something, parents? Don't allow your children to come between you and your spouse. I know that's not popular, but we're not here for popularity. We're here for truth. God gave you a husband, wife, and husband, God gave you a wife. They should be primary.
Amen.
The fight, again, wasn't about Hagar. It was about her being emotionally visible. It was about her feeling emotionally cared. That's what it was about. It wasn't about a baby. In modern days, I want you to understand when couples fight about money, when couples fight about time and parenting or hitting issues, it's really about emotional neglect. That's what it is. Well, you never called me. I mean, all I have in my history is your calls. Amen. No, they just don't feel that they're a priority in your life. Some way or another, you're making them feel detached. Again, I'm not preaching about what's right. I'm not preaching about what's wrong. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. I'm preaching the truth. I want you to understand this. Conflict is often the language of the heart trying to communicate, hey, I need connection. I need connection that hasn't been met yet. And we might not understand this. But don't treat fights as attacks, husbands. We do that a lot, don't we? When the wife tries to explain something, we're like, well, you do this. No, 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 don't respond that way. When you're fighting to stay connected, you're trying to recognize, oh, this is a crime for closeness. You don't act like the victim, husband. We're men. You know what men do? In case you never got taught, I never got taught, but I learned what the Bible says. Men, we deal with problems. We don't act like a victim. We're big boys, and we get over it. No offense, you're not a lady. It's not a downplay. It's just we're made differently. Amen. Men, we are there to protect. We're there to provide. We're there to lead. We're not there to be victims. We're not there to have effeminate, amen, mannerisms, attributes. We are men. Amen. Amen. I'll say it.
Amen.
I want you to understand that we need to stop treating fights as attacks, men. We need to get the message from the heart and saying, hey, warning, warning, we're distant when the spouse is talking to us. What is your heart really saying behind the anger? That's what we need to ask. What are some small steps to restore our relationship or restore our connection? That's what you need to ask. So, Pastor, how does that look like? Sometimes, pardon me, do you mind? This is my daughter. I don't know. Come over here. Thank you so much. Sometimes it looks like this. Holding hands when they're fighting. Thank you. That's what that looks like. Oh, Pastor, but if I try to hold my wife's hand, she's going to punch me. Okay, well, we work at it. Amen? We work at it. We don't have all the answers, but I'm trying to tell you, you know your wife. You know her personality. Sometimes it looks like just being there. And actually listening and asking the question that they were talking about in the conversation, in the narrative. Follow along and ask questions according to that. But sometimes it looks like that, just holding their hands while you're talking. Sometimes it's asking a simple question like, hey, I know it's going to be a busy week. What do you need me to do to help you? You know what that feels like now? Closeness. Why? We're including each other. You're recognizing, hey, you know what? You're going to have a busy day. I'm actually going to dump everything on you. I know you. This is a two-way street. What can I do? Here's the second point. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Actively care for your spouse. I know I touched on it, so. Ephesians 5:25. You say, Pastor, you just preached to the husbands. Listen, we'll be all right. Amen. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for what? For the church. It's not that I'm just preaching to the husbands. Ladies, I want you to also understand our position is the leader of the home. And as the head of the home, guess where the buck stops? The husbands. Not with you. We should know how to be the leaders. We should be the men that you can follow, not the boys that you need to raise. So if I preach this way, because I'm preaching to men, men that I respect, men that I value, and men like your pastor that we probably bring baggage, we don't have it all together, but we're learning. Amen?
Amen.
It's not that men are bad. I just want you to see here, Paul is teaching the church of Ephesus about marriage and how marriage is a reflection of Christ's love to his church. I want you to see that Christ's love is intentional. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. See, Jesus sacrificed for the church. Jesus paid attention to the church. I love this about Jesus. He doesn't wait for us to respond first, does he? We misused him. We rejected him. We refused him. We take advantage of him. We even killed him. He said, Pastor, you're saying that my wife should... No, I'm not. Literally. But I'm trying to tell you, sometimes the arguments and the things that wives say hurt and cut deep. But they hurt and they cut deep because only the person that you love the most can hurt you that way.
Amen.
That's all that means. Praise the Lord, not everybody can do that to you. Well, no, Pastor, you have it all twisted. No, you have it all twisted. Stop watching Hollywood. That's not real. This is not a real, a movie reel. R-E-E-L. Thank you. A little slow sometimes. This is real life. This is real life. This is how marriage is. We sacrifice as being a big boy. Young boys, as being a big boy. He said, man, I don't ever let, and by the way, young boys, don't ever let girls, you know, come around and kiss you and all that stuff, okay? But when you get older, something's going to happen to you. Something's going to change. And when that change takes place, sometimes it's a different age, sometimes it's a stage in your life, because some of you are a little bit more mature. But just remember what a husband's supposed to do, okay, boys? Boys, God gave us this amazing strength. Don't be like Pastor, now I lost that strength, but God gave us this amazing strength to protect the ladies. And you know how you can practice that? By protecting your mom. You know how you can practice that, too? By protecting your sisters. This is what God's given us.
Amen.
This is how we're supposed to react.
Yes, sir.
So then when that change takes place in your life, guess what you're going to realize? When you don't agree with the ideal person that God has for you, you're going to realize they're not attacking me. God gave me this amazing strength so I can protect. They're trying to signal something's wrong in our relationship. Yeah, they want you to care for them. And maybe you shouldn't be out with the boys. Maybe you shouldn't be working so many hours because sometimes the spouse wants to be noticed. Young boys, when you learn to take care of your mom, you're going to find out certain things about a lady. You're going to find out things that there's nothing like a mom's hug. You know why? Because she cares for you. There's nothing like a mom's kiss. You say, well, my dad's kissed me too. Well, yeah, it's not the same. There's nothing like mommy's cuddles. You're hearing it from a mommy's boy. Nothing like mommy's cuddles. My wife has one with her boys and stuff. Amen. I appreciate Zeke. Probably not so much anymore. Amen. He's a young man. Amen. But Ezra, sorry. My cuddles don't compare to Ezra's now. I'm finding out. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take him out. No. But I noticed this. As a young boy, it creates a certain sense in you like, that's my mommy. I'm going to protect her. And can I tell you something? That's going to eventually transfer to your wife in a whole different way. It's going to be good. But you have to first understand the treatment of a lady. You have to understand the treatment of how you should treat your sisters. Young boys, how many of your sisters get on your nerves? Raise your hand. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm raising my hand. But you know one thing we notice? As much as they get on our nerves, nobody better mess with them. Right? Why? That's my what? That's right. That's what we do. But that's how we show them that we care for them. Young boys. Husbands. That just transfers to us as men. That's what we do with our wives. Yeah, sometimes we get in arguments and Paul is teaching you, look, love's not going to be lovable sometimes. Your wife is not going to be lovable. Praise the Lord, my wife's not here. But love is not passive. You understand this? You have to demonstrate empathy. You have to demonstrate your presence. You have to demonstrate intentional care. This is what love is. Many fights between husbands and wives, again, are not really about the towel on the floor, the light switch. What it's revealing to us, husbands, so we can understand, is this. It's about an emotional closeness. There's either a gap, there's either a distance, or some kind of detachment. That's what it's about. Now, I'm going to tell you what's important. How you respond to that fight. Men, if you feel like it's a personal attack, please take the time and realize it's not. They're trying to inform us. Even though it might not be the best way for your personality to receive information, it's okay. You have to be a big boy sometimes and realize, you know what? This is the best way she can explain it to me. I need to see what she's trying to tell me. Okay? I don't know about the five love languages. I guess people keep telling me about it. I'm going to eventually read that book. Amen? But they said it's a pretty good book. If you need to, get a book like that. Amen? Read it. I mean, I'm not going to promote something I don't know, but I've heard it's good. So, I don't know. I probably need to read it more, but I will tell you this. There's no love book like the Bible. Have y'all not read Song of Solomon? You say, oh, no, that's too graphic. Okay, I'm talking to adults. Amen? I want you to understand, it teaches you about the love, a true love that someone has for their spouse. That's what I'm trying to explain to us. That wives want you to intentionally show them that you care. Amen. My wife wants that. She wants me to listen to her. She wants me to respond to her. And I'm going to tell you something. When conflict arises with my wife, you know what I realize? It's a moment to reconnect. I'm not going to take offense to it. It's not to me. It's for me. So I can connect with her. And you know what I realize? It's not an obstacle. It's an opportunity for me to what? Strengthen that bond with her. Obviously, something's happened. You say, Pastor, what does that do? It helps my wife and I grow in love and in unity. Third point, and I'm done. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Husbands, if I could give you a quick advice, is this. Pay attention to your wife's emotional cues, okay? What do you mean? Like her tone, her body language. Like a punch, that should tell you something, amen? When she's not saying something, and she's keeping to herself, suppressing, pay attention to that. Many of you men are very smart. I'm impressed by some of your intellect. But sometimes when it comes to marriage, you're dumb. I'm dumb too. Right? You say, Pastor Dave, what should I do? Show small act of empathy, like just a kind word, again, holding her hand. If you see signals of disagreement, try to value the heart. What is she trying to tell you? Ladies, I'm not just preaching to the men, but here you go. Recognize your husband is frustrated. Let me say that again. Recognize your husband is frustrated. Pastor, I'm frustrated too. No. This is for you, ladies, okay? Recognize your husband is frustrated, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. It often happens when they feel unheard. You should be taking notes. I mean, some of you want help. I'm trying to help you. Men, I'm not trying to give them all the answers, okay? But when men close down and men shut down, either you're pressuring them too much, they came from work, or they told you something over and 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 over again, and you ignore it. Guess how they're going to feel? Just like you feel. Unheard. Ignored. You follow me? It's a two-way street. I'm not getting after anyone. I'm trying to explain truth. Is that okay? I'm not saying, hey, husbands, you're right, you're wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, wives, you're right, you're wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying truth. Truth. We're habitual creatures, creatures of habit. Wives, approach the argument with understanding. You're real good with this. I noticed that. Ladies, you're a lot better than we are sometimes as men, understanding the arguments. Yeah, I appreciate that. You actually ask good questions. I noticed that. But understand his perspective, too. If you do that, he's going to feel heard. He's going to feel valued. You say, Pastor, he's just emotional. No, no, no. Understand. A man is better conquered with honey than vinegar. It's just how it is. If you respond to your husband with, what's a nice word? With, not compliments, but you know, if you compliment them, instead of criticize them,
with respect.
Flattery? With respect. Not flattery because you don't want to exaggerate or embellish something. But with, yeah, you know, with respect. You know, compliment them. Maybe what they do right. Not every time criticize them for what they do wrong. We know we do wrong. Man, listen. For men, there are harder critics in our lives to find than ourselves. Men, we're one of our worst enemies. We, in our mind, we criticize what we do every step of the way because we want to be better. For you ladies, I'm telling you, husbands. And then when you add on my best friend who can hurt me, criticizing me. Criticizing me. Okay, last time I bought you. Criticizing. From the gumball machine? No. It's easier for a man to say, you know what? Let me pay attention to what you're telling me. Hey, ladies, please don't get offended. But how many moms do you think we have? So don't beat her. I mean, this is simple. Man, we only have one mama. Don't talk down to us. Don't criticize. Don't tell us what we need to do. I'm not saying you can't help us, but you're not our mamas. You know what you are? A wife. That's a different love. Amen? Amen? And husbands? We're not their daddies. Okay, I'm just going to leave it like that. Amen? Together, make good habits. Check in with one another. You say, Pastor, but I just got in a fight. I'm arguing. Listen. You know what's the hardest thing to do after you're mad? After you're upset? The hardest thing to do is to try to check on each other and say, hey, you know what? I understand how you feel right now. But can we figure something out so we can both talk and get over this? That's the hardest thing to do. You know, instead what we choose to do, and I'm not going to get to my third point. But you know what? What's the hardest thing for us to do after we get in a fight? And sometimes we blow up, amen? That don't blow up, amen? Okay. I guess just my wife and I pray for us, amen? We need marriage counseling. Oh, we have the Bible. But here's the thing. Sometimes we get into fights and we argue. And some of us, instead of fixing it, you know what we'd rather do? Let that baby simmer. Let that anger. Let that meanness. I was right, he was wrong. Let the devil work in that playground, baby. And we rather, instead of fixing it, go to bed, go to sleep, angry at each other. Why in the world would we do that? I'm going to tell you why. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes we just don't know how to talk to each other. Sometimes it's the worst thing after getting in a fight, after arguing, after seeing the devil at a glance in each other's face. It's so hard for us to come back because we're hypocrites. By the way, there's nobody here that's perfect, so we're all hypocrites. It's hard to come back to somebody you love after you show them how much you don't like them. But it's not that you don't like them, it's just because you got hurt. So you're going to hurt them back, right? So you go back and you look at them and say, hey, you know what? I understand right now it's not a good time to talk, but whenever you're ready, I'm leaving. That's the hardest thing to do. But guess what that is? That's how you reconnect. That's how you reconnect. I know we won't get to it, but repair before resentment sets in. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, Colossians 3:13. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Say, Pastor, I can't. I'm mad. I'm upset. It's because you're willing to hold on to it instead of forgive. Instead of letting it go. Elsa. Instead of letting it go, the code doesn't bother you anyway. Amen? Instead of letting it go, you're willing to what? Hold on to it. This is you. This is my sin. I'm going to feel close to it. Let it go. Forgive. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today, Lord. I know we all need help. I also understand, God, that you have given us examples.